Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
Now let's move on to this. And a trust is supposed to protect your wealth, not become a legal and financial nightmare. But I hear this. Across South Africa, thousands of family trusts are sitting dormant, non-compliant, and also dangerously out of date. Morne Janse van Rensburg from the financial services company Hobbs Sinclair says neglected trusts are fast becoming liabilities and not legacies, and the cost of catching up could be a lot higher than most families realize. Morne, a very warm welcome. Let's get into this issue. And how big a problem is it? Are we talking dozens or thousands or tens of thousands of trusts?
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks for having me. The latest statistics say that, you know, up to, you know, between 60 to 65% of registered trusts in South Africa are not registered with SARS for income tax purposes. And I think that's quite a big kind of misstep or misconception is that, okay, I have a trust. It might not be active. I'm not going to bother with registering it with SARS or keeping up to date with tax compliance. And then until on a day when your trust maybe needs a tax clearance certificate or something like that, you find yourself in a spot of bother and having to really kind of catch up a few years, maybe even a few decades. And that comes as a nasty surprise when you're having to look at what it's going to potentially cost you in time and money.
Aside from the compliance issue, which I guess is fairly obvious, what are other common red flags that you would see or people should notice in a neglected trust file?
For me, kind of one of the more basic ones and one that a lot of people don't realize is that it's actually part of trust law for your trust to have its own bank account. And the majority of trusts that do come our way, especially ones that were established many years ago, don't have an active bank account. So that already kind of puts your trust in a bit of a questionable sphere. And that's, you know, that's an easy problem to solve. And I think the next one for me and the more important one for me is just consistency. You know, a trust is somewhere where you house your most important assets, your most valuable assets. It's there for generational wealth. And then to not just consistently keep it up to date, keep it relevant, make sure it's meeting all the requirements, for me is kind of like building a house and filling it with all your prized possessions that you hope to leave for the generations to come. But you're not actually checking whether the roof is still in good nick and are going to be protecting those assets.
Oh, and that's a very good analogy. You say that older trusts are, and I think your words, ticking compliance time bombs. If this perpetuates, what's the worst case scenario?
That can range from, you know, your trust being questioned, the validity of your trust being questioned. Heaven forbid your trust enters into some kind of legal proceedings and the validity of your trust is questioned. And it could even be to the point where the assets that you thought were housed in a trust and maybe protected from your personal liabilities, the trust has been run in such a shoddy way that your creditors could actually even access those assets. And then the other one for me is just the cost to then fix it, and the time that it takes and the delays that it causes when you are then having to spend that time catching up on years and years and years worth of compliance and paperwork.
Morne, let me pick you up on that phrase, run in a shoddy way. Again, correct me if I misunderstand this, but many trustees would be family members and they don't necessarily have a legal background or any legal footing. Surely that's an anomaly in 2025.
Jeremy. It's, you know, those, and we see it still with some trusts being registered in terms of, use the example of, you know, mom and dad set up the trust. They have a friend down the road, a family friend down the road who's willing to serve as their third trustee. And between the three of them, they don't really have the experience to run that trust from a compliance perspective, whether it be the tax affairs, whether it be dealing with the master, whether it be just knowing what basic paperwork and procedures there are that have to be in place just to ensure that your trust is being well run and is robust. And the and you know the trusts were registered then with those people in mind. But as the environment is changing, as the landscape around trusts are changing, you do need that professional to come in and assist you and guide you so that you don't fall foul.
There's no doubt that SARS has become stricter. Are trusts being audited more aggressively these days?
Yes, I have some clients who probably think I sound like a stuck record because I've been saying it to them at our AGMs for the last 5 or 6 years in terms of SARS is intensifying their focus and their scrutiny of trusts. And as much as we sometimes wish that wasn't the case, they really have put their money where their mouths are in terms of SARS. And they are investigating to make sure that, you know, the proper flow of money is recorded. I always talk about a trust income tax return that used to be maybe a simple 3 or 4 pager. You are now having to disclose a lot more information about the trustees, the beneficiaries, the donor, the flow of funds, the flow of income, and all those type of things. So that is very much SARS is on a data collection and analyzing exercise.
And Morne, let's assume that a trust hasn't submitted a tax return for a period of time. How long does it take and how costly is it to bring it back to any semblance of compliance?
Sure. For me, it always just depends on how complicated or uncomplicated the trust is. If it's a trust that doesn't really house too much and there isn't too much going on within the trust, then it's a quite a basic and straightforward process to bring your trust up to date. The first step for me is for the trustees out there or for the wealthy individuals out there just to take that first step to say, I'm going to get my trust in order. For me, I think that's always the biggest and obviously the first hurdle. But from there, if it's not too complicated, it can actually be done in quite a cost-effective and hopefully tax-efficient way as well.
And just finally, if families have used a trust either to hold a home or an investment, what happens if they delay the review? In terms of reviewing the compliance of the trust.
Oh, in terms of reviewing the compliance. Up until now that wouldn't have been a problem. But as we see, like I said, the landscape about trusts starting to change, even the trust just wanting to transact, whether it wants to buy another property or sell that property, or transact with it and with its investments, especially with the introduction of the FICA rules that have been with us now for a couple of years, trusts are finding it a bit more difficult to actually be active and do what they want to do, enact their decisions, because they are not compliant, whether it be from a FICA perspective or a SARS perspective or even just a paperwork perspective. You might find that you have a trust that had 3 trustees and the first on, you know, today they want to make a transaction and 2 of the 3 trustees have actually passed away. And now to go and change that quickly, which isn't a quick thing, to trade or to do what your trust wants to do, then those are those unnecessary delays that could have been fixed and completely avoided if there was just active management of that trust.
Thank you very much indeed. That's Morne Jansen van Rensburg from the financial services company Hobson Clare. Morne, I appreciate your time.
Our business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.